past midnight, well past midnight. But I'll tell you one thing. I saw this smog thing happen before when I was in Western Canada. And I saw another time I was in Eastern Canada, but it was a volcano, volcanic ash. And they weren't that, the two incidents weren't that far away from each other, time-wise. But the one in Western Canada, my son played for a year in Western Canada, in BC. And up near Vernon Way, up near Okanagan, etc. Little Ogopogo, who was basically the Loch Ness Monster of British Columbia. Up in that neck of the woods, they had some fires like this, and it was thick for a long time. And these things don't go away very quickly. They seem and they usually linger. So this buckle up. But it certainly didn't span the type of the geography we're talking about now. But nonetheless, it's not cool to be cruising around out there. Just be bopping around, so be careful. These nanoparticles. You know what is stunning, too? It's so funny. They've now waited until the last minute and to tell people, hey, maybe you should put masks on. So when you're faced with a real airborne threat, they hesitated to tell you to put masks on, probably because they realized no one's going to fucking listen to them anymore. But when there was no fucking threat, when they made up a whole fucking scheme, a whole scam, then they told you to wear masks. They browbeat it into your head. You know, all but fucking threatened you with jail, being placed in an internment camp when there was no chance of a mask doing a goddamn thing because there was no problem. But when there was a problem, it is a problem now. Like, hey, you think those masks will work now? Folks, you can't make it up. So I'm looking at the map now, and, you know, the folks are really getting beat up around Buffalo, Western New York. There'll be purple as well in New York City and Long Island. And folks up in Boston seem to have escaped most of this, though. You sons of bitches.
You son of a bitch.
How did you guys escape this? Philly's bad. Of course, Washington, D.C. And southbound. Canadian wildfires moving through the northeast, coating the Philadelphia region in smoky haze and a burning odor. I said, go ahead. So much smoke yesterday that I thought Hunter Biden was in town. I thought maybe Hunter had shown up for some quote-unquote outdoor activities, but anyway, anyhow. Keep the windows closed at home and stay inside. And I saw one cat today. I was out. I had to run down the hardware store. One cat was driving around with his windows open. I mean, this motherfucker was. He just couldn't get the smoke fast enough. What? So some people probably are out there. They don't understand perhaps that this is really dangerous. It can have a, of course, how would you understand that? We just had an entire fucking globe tell us that we're all going to die. There's a winter of death for the unvaccinated and all this stuff. Why would you ever listen to these people again? So what then happens is what ensues is confusion. When there is an actual health situation, when there's a air alert, when there's a code red for unhealthy air to breathe, people don't know who to believe. That's what happens when you lie to people. That's what happens when you lie to people. Something we chose not to do when we launched this operation. We would play it straight. And yes, there is time. And from time to time that we end up eating ramen pride noodles, even though Maria doesn't approve of that, nutritious. But budget-wise, and while the liars are fat and happy, we understand how that plays out and why it plays out. because it's harder to tell the truth and it's harder for people to comprehend the truth. I appreciate the feedback on the last two shows. Yesterday's show detailing how to detect bullshit, what I would call a long-form professorial class or a master class. And so that seems to have struck a chord with some folks. I would imagine, talking to Maria just a few hours ago, that we will continue or build off of that for Friday's show. And I'm looking forward to that because she can do most of the talking and the smoke hasn't reached Florida yet. And I don't think it will. So that's good. And who knows? It's sure to still be around here based on our experiences in Canada. I don't think it's going anywhere for a few days or more. But so that's going on, and we got that rocking and rolling. Over the weekend, I put an old lawnmower at the end of the driveway. Old beat-up John Deere I've had for years. Doesn't run, and a buddy of mine says, just put it at the end of the driveway. Somebody will come by and grab it. I said, this thing's pretty beat up, man. I don't know. And he said, trust me. There's always somebody out there that thinks they can fix your stuff. I said, all right, fair enough. So I put it at the end of the driveway. Guy knocks on the door today, Mexican guy. He says, what are you doing with the deer at the top of the street? And I said, he said, how much you want for it? I said, you know what, man? You're working hard. You can have it for free. If you get it out of here, you can have it. It's a tractor, right? Four wheels. And I said, I got another busted down one I've been using for parts. You want to see it? So I took him to the backyard. And he said, I like this one too. How much? I said, you can have it. Just get it out of here. I said, I'll get it out of this space in the next couple of days, and you can grab that too. And he said, what do you think? I said, about what? What are you talking about? He said, what do you think? I said, about the tractors? Yeah, it's cool. Everything's cool, he said. About the smoke from Canada, eh? Everybody's talking about a smoke from Canada. A fine fellow, hardworking charger. I think he was with his son, and they picked up that thing, and they tossed it in the back of their truck, and good luck to them. They're going to need it. But one man's trash is another man's treasure, and there are people out there hustling, and it's good to see. So, I think he'll be back if somebody else doesn't scoop this other one up as well, as we're trying to clean house here. But he was very concerned and very smitten with a smoke from Canada, as many people are. It's nice, you know, I thought this earlier today. It's nice to look outside and actually see the sky and a fog and smog. And the hue of the sky is an orange or a yellow. Finally, a sky that fits my mood out here. And this song is Black Smoke Rising, and it is rising. We're going to get to some heavier stuff here. And we still got third part of Carrie Mullis tonight. I really dig this email I got, and it really made my day, and it was a very busy day, and as you see a lot of people poaching our intel, and there's not a goddamn thing we can do about it. And anybody who listens to me knows that has been an ongoing concern, problem, etc. When you don't get credit for hard work and breaking stories first, okay? I'm not going to harp on that, like I said. But this really kind of made my day. And I started thinking, you know what? I should go say something nice to somebody who deserves it too. So I did that. Somebody who's been working hard for me. And I haven't really given him too much credit, you know, kind of been beating him down a little bit. Too much on his shoulders, too much on their back. So I took the time out to say, you know what? If somebody said something nice about me today, it made me feel so much better about everything that's going on, gave me a little pep in my step, maybe I'll pay it forward. So I did. It makes you feel good when you do good things for people, doesn't it? I mean, it does for me. And I probably don't do as much as I should, but you just get lost in the fold with everything going on. And now it's hard to see people within 10 feet of you. You don't even know who's there to thank when you're in a smoke-filled environment. Let's go to that call. I want to go to that call so you can... It's not a call. We converted, of course, in our audio lab to our creation of Bill Cooper. He reads all of our fan mail, all of our email, and we play it on the show instead of me fumbling through it and fucking it up. Mr. Cooper does a better job. The ghost, the spirit of William Cooper. So we'll go to that, and I want to talk a little bit about that. Email that we've converted into audio format. That's also some fun we've been having. So let's do that now. And then we have many other things to talk about, and we have to dust off the flux capacitor a couple times too to frame things properly. Let's go there.
Mr. Moore, as you know, we almost always never get credit for doing the job right. There are many folks you worked with, and now the sons and daughters of those people as well, who listen to your show. You do yourself and you do all of us credit for being consistent and being correct. That still matters, even in dark corners these days. I am sure many people look to your information as a dependable guiding light. I speak on behalf of myself and all who hope that you never lose your way and stop shining the light on the truth. Remain steadfast and keep the streak alive. I am confident no newsman has ever been so right over such a long span and received hardly any due applause for such a feat. There is someone or many someones looking out for you and guiding this streak. Please thank your crew, and we will continue to listen and take action during what looks to be very trying days ahead. We will do our part as well.
Get no supper tonight. A lot of people won't get no justice tonight. And the battle.
I mean, what do you say after a message like that? It's very humbling. Very humbling. I guess I never looked at it as a streak, but we're on a hell of a streak. I don't know how long it's going to go for. We normally don't get too many things wrong, even going back to our intel days and our journalism days, because we put the work in and we have fantastic people. Those same fantastic people, I have to credit them. Many people in the Justice Department, the FBI, the DEA. And I know what people say, well, you know, if you slam these people and then you applaud them, this is the life of a journalist. This is the life of a journalist. We have to play it both ways. We can be critical and also thankful that they give us good information, inside information. And we have our own methodology. It's been very successful at determining things, the way things are going. filling in the blanks, etc., from time to time. And it's so far fail-safe. I appreciate that. Email more than you can ever imagine. Let's just say that. Yesterday we talked about, and the title of the podcast again yesterday was, let me grab it, say it again, Exclusive Feds Flip Mark Meadows and I a Big Trump Takedown. That was on the public side. Then just a few hours before we turned on the mic, we learned that Mark Meadows, of course, had and has been giving the feds critical intel, inside intel on Trump, and he was a key witness, a key grand jury witness, and one of the main reasons that if Trump is indicted in the coming days, Mark Meadows was probably the swing vote. Plain and simple, just like we said. Subsequently, Mr. Meadows will likely be charged as well. Of course, his charges will be downgraded, or at least his sentencing will, based on his cooperation with the Justice Department. All this will come out in the laundry. This is so historic, and so, you know, I'm being mellow about it and stuff, because I'm just trying to be methodical and plot my way through this episode, because it could get a little bit complex. There's many moving parts with things we've been doing, things we've been talking about. I want to make sure we encapsulate it all. And then we also have the last part of Kerry Mullis' interview to get to, long-form interview. We've had two of them running about 40 minutes each. We have the last part, I think, is a half an hour. We'll put that on the back of the show. Meadows is not going to walk away from this unscathed. He likely will be charged. The question is, what's he going to be charged with? And by being charged, he will plead guilty in a plea deal, likely to several charges. We'll see how that plays out. Now, everybody will be jumping on the bandwagon, saying, oh, I told you so, X, Y, and Z. Nobody told you about this before we did. The day Trump's compound, palatial estate at Mar-a-Lago was raided, we did a show the next day, and I said, this is the end for him. You do not bounce back from something like this. Because if they're coming in the house and they're doing a search warrant, you're going to get charged within all likelihood. Even though people say, this is highly unlikely, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. There's a reason they were there. Now, you may disagree with the reason. That's fine. We've outlined many of those reasons. We were the first to link this to a nuclear intel. We did that on Trump's house was raided August 2022. And within 2 days, we had broken the news about classified documents related to nuclear technology and nuclear intelligence as being part of this package of missing documents that Trump was refusing to give back, etc. Very fucking problematic. I'm curious to see if that becomes part of the indictment. I would imagine likely it would. A month after we wrote that, and broke that. We broke it right here on the Thomas Paine podcast. A month after we did, the Washington Post came out and wrote the same fucking thing almost word for word from our podcast. It was a national story, and it broke across the country and across the world. And the Washington Post took credit for it. It's exactly what we had said, what I had said. We had done in the True Pundit days before the Thomas Paine podcast. We'll play it. I'll play it. We'll go back to the 2 days after Trump's home was raided by the FBI for a search warrant. We did the show explaining everything. about this nuclear angle. We had done research and compiled a report, an investigative report, during our True Pundit days. Before I launched this podcast, breaking down very problematic issues with the Trump administration, not necessarily Trump himself, but his administration, in the early days of his presidency, even before he was sworn in, his transition into the time he was sworn in. We made the assertion that many of the FISA warrants that Mr. Hannity and Mr. Levin and the MAGA crowd have been crying foul about were actually valid based on the intelligence that we were getting from the Justice Department. Now, understand this. We have never made a mistake reporting on a DOG story. DOG. Woo! Well, there's not much of a difference. We've never made a mistake reporting on a DOJ story or an FBI story, not once. We've broken hundreds of scoops since we started this, True Pundit into the Thomas Paine podcast, etc. Hundreds of scoops, never been wrong once. That's where the writer of the email, a former Intel colleague, references the streak. And if you've been listening here, you understand this certainly is one hell of a streak. As journalists, we're not supposed to give a fuck if we make people like us. We're not supposed to pick sides, and we're not supposed to do a number of things. We're not supposed to obstruct ourselves. So back when we talked about this in 2022 and we read some of the intel, the notes, the intel we had put together on this very subject about nuclear proliferation with the Trump administration, Saudi Arabia, etc. And again, we'll get into that. I'm just kind of setting it up. It wasn't very popular because so many people were still on the Trump train and they didn't believe what we were talking about. Even though it was in the tank for True Pundit, we had it in the tank for years. And just sitting there, we have so much research. When I say we have information on people, we have jackets on people, we have dossiers on people, we do. And some of them sit, and then we grab them when we need them. Some never see the light of day, some do. Some we use for background information where we don't invite people on the show and we don't go kiss their ass and we don't retweet them and we don't promote them because we know, based on the information we have, that they are fucking liars. They're full of shit. They're grifters. They're con men. They're con women. And they avoid us like the plague. And make no mistake, there's so many people like that that I just described. My God. We had to stop doing deep dives on everybody because we wouldn't have time to do anything else. We wouldn't have time to put a show out. But we have all this information. We pull it as needed. It was needed 2 days after Trump's raid to go back into our archives and go over notes we had. We did it publicly on the Thomas Paine podcast. Go over these things publicly. Read the comments from FBI agents, etc., in our notes. Break down things. And then a month after we did that, the Washington Post came out. The New York Times came out and said the same thing. All major news operations came out and said the same thing. They were talking about espionage, obstruction charges, charges potentially violating the Espionage Act, etc. So I'm really interested to see how this plays out. And we've said, again, I will just recap. We've said that on here for weeks and months that I just said, again, two shows ago that it was likely Trump would be charged, very likely, that his proffer with the Justice Department and the special prosecutor did not go well. His attorneys, it was conveyed to us through Justice Department. His attorneys were not happy. They got no traction with the Justice Department to try to sway the Justice Department away from indicting former president of the United States. I mean, you can't even put this into words. It's never been done before. It's never happened. Like I said, sometimes it's hard to really grasp what's going on when you're in the middle of history. Things seem so turbulent, they don't make sense because you're literally in the middle of history. We also said that Trump will likely be charged this summer in Georgia, in Fulton County. He also runs the risk of being charged again if he is indeed indicted. And from all appearances, it looks like that could happen within days. He also faces other federal probes, so he's not out of the woods. And he's never had a face-off against the federal government. It is something. It really is something. Our folks report that he's been subdued. People who are monitoring and following him on a regular basis, more subdued in recent days. It doesn't take a genius to figure out why. You know this is coming, right? Your lawyers tell you it's coming. It's coming. And that's just the way it is. So we'll get into that as we move forward here. Tonight, there's a lot of things I want to put out there and explain to you what could be happening and explain to you work that we had done. Again, recap, work that we had done during the True Pundit days on this. And it's alarming stuff. It really is alarming what they were trying to do. And it's stunning to me that the people involved with Trump in this have not been indicted. And I'd be interesting to see if they are indicted. If they have not been indicted, they too are rats and they've cut their own deals. And they've ratted Trump out. Something that Trump really has been the savant at, ratting other people out. It's usually people involved in the Trump companies, involved in the Trump political sphere who go to jail. I mean, so many people through the years, it's countless. Because Trump has played the role of rat. So it is interesting to see karma in long form. And don't forget, we work for Steve Wynn. My group worked for Steve Wynn against Donald Trump, gathering intel and going head-to-head with Trump's investigators. And we worked for Wynn's investigators. We were part of Wynn's investigative team, going back and forth, literally in a billionaire's chess match, trying to one-up each other with dirt. Trump would get XYZ dirt on Wynn. Wynn would get XYZ dirt on Trump. And this went on for a long time, and it helped build my house. And we were I would say we came out on top. We had a fantastic group and a fantastic, just really smart guys working with us. And we really did a number, and we were all in our 30s. I was probably 31, 32 at the time. And we were working circles around these many retired FBI agents on Trump's team.